This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, February 24th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. There is a major development involving ownership of the White Sox. We'll cover that in our next segment, but right now, the week ahead will include key earnings reports, plus the report on January home sales. We welcome in Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And let's begin by talking about NVIDIA, because this is an earnings report that is as much of a market mover as like an inflation print or the monthly employment report. That is how big of a deal NVIDIA is, not only as a company, but also as a kind of a status check on the health of AI as a whole.
Oh, entirely. And the whole kind of tech boom and the promise of technology and profits and profit margins. NVIDIA casts a long, long shadow. You may not even own shares outright, Rob. You may have some kind of technology mutual fund or anything NASDAQ oriented. Odds are it's going to have a position in NVIDIA. And so that's why what it says this week is going to be so important. Yes, it's going to be about its balance sheet and its income statement, but it's also about what the outlook is for the rest of this year and how this giant company, this global giant of AI semiconductors, is navigating all the uncertainty around tariffs and the new Trump administration.
And speaking of uncertainty, we had that report that says Microsoft may be scaling back its investment in AI data centers, that maybe it will not need nearly as many data centers as they had originally thought. And what signal is that sending about the AI space in general? And can NVIDIA calm some of those fears or accelerate them?
Well, it could do both, right? Maybe not at the same time, Rob, but it could do one or the other, certainly. You know, Microsoft and many of these companies were trying to get far out ahead in 2024 of the AI revolution and making these investments. And then, of course, what we saw out of China within the last couple of weeks is maybe those gargantuan investments on the part of these companies, the capital spending, perhaps aren't going to be called for. So there's just a lot of mixed messages. It's messy. There's a lot of worry out there. And so far over the last maybe 6 weeks or so, the market has not been able to scale this wall of worry. It hasn't fallen off the wall either, instead of just kind of hanging onto the rope right now.
And now we have a number of earnings reports that will give us some signals as to where the consumer is at. We have Home Depot, we have Lowe's, we have TJ Maxx. So that's not only a good insight into the home building space, but also just how the consumer is feeling now.
Absolutely. And we know that consumer debt, credit card debt, is at or near record highs. COVID dollars and stimulus dollars, those have been long gone now when it comes to the consumer. And now we've got all the headlines that come up almost hourly, the notifications, I'm sure, are buzzing in your phone with your pocket, Rob, about, you know, potential layoffs or job cuts at the federal government level, how that's going to impact the overall economy. what that means for hiring going forward. The tariff talk, all of the saber rattling around Ukraine, it is just a cause for a pause, or maybe a cause for a pause when it comes to consumer spending. That's the concern here.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, thank you for joining us today, helping us set up the week ahead. Coming up, a sea change could be coming to the White Sox.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Investment magnate Justin Ishbia is set to increase his existing minority stake in the White Sox. That's according to a report that popped over the weekend in The Athletic. Let's discuss what that means for the team with Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Corp Limited in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And if you are a White Sox fan and you are familiar with the history of ownership, how big of a deal is this that Justin Ishbia wants to boost his stake in the White Sox, a team in which Jerry Reinsdorf has been the general partner since 1981?
Well, it's a very big deal for a few reasons. One is Justin was looking very, very hard at buying a controlling interest in the Minnesota Twins. He and his brother recently purchased controlling interest of the Phoenix Suns. They've looked at other sports teams as well, including in the NFL. And their interest has clearly been to be control owners of teams rather than just to be long-term limited partners. This is not their first interest in the White Sox. Justin purchased a piece of the White Sox a few years ago. And this is these are two younger people, very successful in business. I've met Justin. We spent a little bit of time together. He is passionate about sports, passionate about baseball, passionate about Chicago. And, you know, this is sometimes you have to think about the changing of the guard. You know, time marches on for all of us. Jerry has led an absolutely extraordinary life. He's 88 years old. We'll be 89 soon. We all recognize, you know, that the calendar stops for no one. And Justin is a young man, really coming into his prime, and is has been extraordinary. And I think his best years are clearly ahead of him, and for both he and his brother. So Chicago White Sox fans should be quite excited about this.
And now this does take the possibility, or the very least reduces the possibility, of the team shuffling off to Nashville, because the earlier rumor about Jerry talking with Dave Stewart, who was a part of a Nashville baseball ownership group, caused a lot of White Sox fans, myself included, to wonder, are we next? Are we going to follow the Oakland A's route out of town? So you believe that this is a sign that there is local ownership, future local ownership, that sees a future for the White Sox in Chicago.
Yeah, but I'm also not going to make the leap that you just made, and let me explain why. I believe Justin is on the board of Vanderbilt University, which is in Nashville. Now, so he has a Nashville connection. He lives in suburban Chicago, and his business is in downtown Chicago. So he's a Chicago guy. But let's not all of a sudden say, okay, well, we don't have to stand up and do anything if the team, if he ultimately becomes the control owner. The community, the politicians still need to step up. And I think they should. Frankly, I think they should do it while Jerry is controlling the team. And let me explain why. Jerry has done this before. Jerry is amenable to do a deal. Jerry has worked with the related company to work out a master plan. Jerry is also with Michael working out with the Wirtz family another master plan on the west side with large real estate development around the United Center. This is a good opportunity for the public sector officials to step up. Look, if we had a mayor that actually understood, knew what they were doing, they'd look at this as an opportunity, not as a problem, to work out arrangements with the White Sox and with Jerry Reinsdorf and the Reinsdorf family now, with the state right now, especially at a time when we could use more economic development and private development in the state. That having been said, you know, if Justin is somebody that is focused on the future. He's young, and we'll see that. You know, there's no assurance that he'll be the next owner, but certainly he's showing a commitment to the White Sox. He is not going after the Minnesota Twins, which would have been a controlled situation, and he does live here in suburban Chicago, and is clearly, I will tell you, a very smart businessman. He and his brother both.
At the very least, Mark, and this is a thought that occurred to me over the weekend, before we talk about possible succession plans if Jerry decides to move on from the White Sox, does this provide another deep-pocketed person, investor, who could back a White Sox stadium development that would require little or no public funding, similar to the situation that the Bulls and Hawks have at the United Center?
Sure, and that's never a bad thing, to have deep-pocketed owners of a team be able to step up for any private contribution that may be needed. And if you recall, when the United Center was built, it was built with private funding. It was built in a location that the Wirtz family had already owned, and it was a modestly costed building, and the city has developed out to the area. So now is the opportunity for them to take advantage of the private investment they made, with the city having moved to that area with this big development that they've got planned out there. If for the 78, which really looks like almost a perfect location and site, and the plan that the related development is put, related companies put together with the White Sox, that it seems like it is just tailor-made with the where the city is moving. But, you know, you have to have strong political leadership and farsighted political leadership to help make something like this come together. So we'll see if we have that in the city and the state. I think we have it at the state level. I'm not so sure we have it at the city level, unfortunately.
Mark Gannis, president, co-founder, Sports Corp. Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Home Run Inn is shutting down several of its pizzerias. Let's look at the number of closings and the reason behind the move with Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Ali, thank you for joining us today. And there is a through line that explains the restaurants that Home Run Inn is closing and the ones they are deciding to keep.
Yes, you're right about that. So they are closing three of their 9 standalone pizzerias. They're keeping the ones where they own the real estate. And the kind of reasoning behind this is that they want to focus on the growth that they're seeing in the frozen pizzas, which has really exploded, you know, in the past few years since the pandemic.
And the restaurants that they're shutting down, I mean, does Home Run Inn, they own all of their pizzerias, or do they franchise the name?
They own them, and, you know, it's a family-run company with roots dating back to the 20s. They do have locations in both airports, Midway and O'Hare, and they have expansion plans there as well, actually. But, you know, when there are restaurants in the airports, they're not all company-owned exactly, just by nature of being in the airport. But the standalone restaurants are, yes.
So it seems like from Home Run Inn's perspective, the frozen pizza element of the business to them is probably a heck of a lot more valuable than the restaurants, and the restaurants they're keeping. The land is more valuable to Home Run Inn than the restaurant plopped on top of it.
Right. Their frozen pizza sales make up more than 80% of their revenue, so that kind of says it all.
And on top of that, Home Run Inn also, just based on my kid's school, Allie, they have a rather robust school lunch service, because I know on special days they do get Home Run Inn pizza. So clearly they're doing pretty well with the kids.
Yeah, that's a level up from my day in school, I think. But yeah, it's interesting to see them expanding into these other areas for sure. And, you know, I spoke with Gina Perino-Bolger, who's the chief marketing officer and also fourth generation, you know, family member. And she said it's not that they're financially hurting in any way. It's a strategic shift to allow them to focus more on these locations that they own, and also develop menus, innovate in the frozen aisle, all of that good stuff.
Now, when you talk about how frozen pizza is 80% of their business, has that always been the case, or is this something that really developed and asserted itself during and after COVID?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the restaurant itself in the 20s started out as a bar, and then the owner's son-in-law came home from World War II and came up with the idea of serving complimentary pizza at the bar counter as a snack, and that's really where it all started. The frozen pizzas came around in the 1960s, and then in the pandemic, you know, it just really, really took off there. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think it was somewhere closer to 50-50 pre-pandemic as far as revenue goes, the split between the restaurants and the frozen sales. But now it's distributed in almost every state. Walmart's really leading the way there. You know, you can find them in Walmarts everywhere except for possibly Alaska. They do have them in Hawaii, though, at stores out there. And they're in other stores as well. So they're really focusing on seeing that grow.
Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Jury selection is underway at the trial of the accused Highland Park parade killer.
This is Rachel Pearson. A shooting in Rogers Park leaves one man dead and another critically wounded.
There are some key things you can negotiate when you're buying a home. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of ideas from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow up 220 points, NASDAQ down 27, S&P 500 up 15. We have 50 degrees right now in Chicago under cloudy skies with high temperatures settling in the 50s this afternoon. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. The work to select a jury has begun in the trial of Robert Cremo III. He's accused of opening fire at the 2022 Highland Park 4th of July parade, killing seven people. The victims ranged in age from 35 to 88 years old. The dozens of wounded people include an 8-year-old boy who was left partially paralyzed by bullet wounds. One man is dead, another being treated for critical injuries after a shooting on Chicago's North Side last night.
Two men were discovered outside in Rogers Park suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. It happened just before 10 p.m. near Damon and Birchwood Avenues. Chicago police say a 31-year-old man was shot in the neck and head. He didn't survive. Another 31-year-old man was hit in the chest and legs and remains hospitalized in critical condition. A witness told officers they saw four men take off on foot, but so far no arrests have been made. Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And when the trading day began, it looked like it was going to be another one of those days, especially for the NASDAQ. But the markets appear to be trending up, and they really began their upward climb around 10 or 10:30 this morning. Any particular event that took place in the early morning to explain that about face?
Rob, nothing really seems to be coming out so far, but you know, thanks for having me on. We are having a turnaround here. It's been a pullback, a quite painful pullback in the mega caps, the super companies, we call them the Magnificent Seven, concerns about less than impressive earnings and the big AI spender, of course, central to the market. And of course, all the disruption in Washington and things like that. I do think maybe there was seemingly a productive meeting in the Oval Office between Emmanuel Macron and Trump about Europe and the Ukraine war. So potentially some selling exhaustion happened. Markets rebound. Many of these big tech stocks are at relative lows and they're coming back up as we speak.
Now, will these good vibes continue throughout the week? Because we have a number of key earnings reports, with the biggest, of course, being NVIDIA later this week. And I said this earlier in the show, NVIDIA earnings week is up there with an employment report or a Fed meeting in terms of being a market mover. And could we see the same thing this week?
It will be. It's become the Super Bowl of the stock market. You know, obviously, Most of the earnings growth, the tremendous earnings momentum, which is where the stock market is today, comes out of the major super companies, Amazon, Google, and all that, Microsoft. Their spending on artificial intelligence and these chips is just absolutely critical to United States technology leadership and everything. So everyone's going to be watching. NVIDIA expected to make 85 cents. I mean, I would think they have to make it well over a dollar and give signals that, you know, maybe they'll make more than $5 or so, or even $6 this year with the mega AI spend. If that happens and NVIDIA is up, that's going to be great for the market, which has been unexpectedly just really volatile and directionless so far this year.
Now, Microsoft came out earlier today saying that they may pare back some of their spending on AI data centers. And what kind of a signal does that send?
Well, it does show a little bit of discipline. And Microsoft is one of these core tech companies. We bought some this morning. Speak to your financial advisor. Does not show that we have any, you know, kind of expertise or anything. But, you know, Microsoft down. It was as high as 450, 404, maybe a little discipline. Seemed to bounce a little bit off the lows. You'll see, you know, obviously stocks are always a guessing game and very unpredictable. But, you know, perhaps a little discipline in the AI spend would be a good thing.
And then speaking of discipline in spending, we do have two home improvement big box stores reporting this week, TJ Maxx as well. And I guess that's going to give us a little bit of an idea of where the consumer is at after some conflicting reports on retail sales.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, because even though inflation has come down, interest rates, big story, are down. We're still dealing with sort of like whack-a-mole inflation. So if it's not eggs, it's this, it's housing. And the other, you know, I don't think optimism is actually very high with this. Remember, home builder sentiment was actually pretty low. So we'll see what happens. Then finally, we have the Fed's preferred inflation measure on Friday, PCE. So between NVIDIA and that, big things happening next few days.
Yeah, it's not going to be at a loss for things to talk about. Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, there are some negotiable items that you can get when you're buying a home. We'll talk about that next.
Debit and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The National Association of Realtors says home buyers received concessions from sellers in about a quarter of U.S. home sales last year. Let's discuss some of the areas where you may be able to save some money with Rick Sharga, founder and CEO of the C.J. Patrick Company in Orange County, California. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And home buyers received concessions from sellers in 24% of U.S. home sales last year. So when we're we're talking about a concession from a seller. What is the most common concession?
Well, the most common concession, believe it or not, is a reduction in the price of the home. About a third of all homes that are sold or have been sold so far this year came with a list price reduction. So the very first thing as a seller that you want to be doing is trying to negotiate the actual purchase price of the home. But there are other slightly less lucrative things that you can negotiate on with a seller. You can negotiate about a seller paying closing costs, which can sometimes be hundreds or even a few thousand dollars on a transaction. You can do something that is called a contingency for repairs, so that at closing, if you find that there are structural issues or major repair costs needed in a house, the seller will agree to pay those as part of the transaction. So there are a number of things you can do directly with the seller, as well as some other ways you can try and save money when you're purchasing a property.
Now, that is a that seems like that could be a fairly sticky negotiation where you when you're trying to get the home seller to possibly pay for repairs to the home, repairs that could be considered possibly a showstopper for the buyer. If you find major structural issues, cracks in the foundation, roof problems, things of that nature, how can you broach that subject without insulting the selling party? Because sometimes they come back and say, "How dare you say this about my house, this love of my life?"
Well, there's something in Stephen Covey's book on the habits of highly successful people that says you need to negotiate with the idea of a win-win or go home. And in this case, it's probably win-win or walk away from the home. But as a buyer, you're already going to be spending a lot of money to purchase a house. In a lot of cases, buyers are financially stretched once they take ownership of the property. And it's really important not to get yourself into a situation where you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars on repairs that you didn't know about. My suggestion to most buyers is to hire a real estate professional who's experienced in handling these kind of negotiations. And very often, those real estate professionals, those realtors, will work with their counterparts who are representing the seller, and they'll handle the negotiations so it becomes nothing personal.
And then on that repair front, are we still at that point in the housing market? I mean, just a couple of years ago, we were talking about how houses were moving so quickly that some prospective home buyers were waiving the inspection because they didn't want the house to disappear during the inspection process. Is that still happening today?
That's a great question. And the answer is, in some markets, we're still seeing homes move pretty quickly, but generally speaking, the number of days a property stays on market now between the time it's listed and the time it's sold is up about 50% nationally on a year-over-year basis. So you're looking at the days on market going from, say, 20 days to 30. And the longer a property stays on the market, the more likely that seller is to consider various types of negotiations in order to secure that sale.
And then lastly, one concession above and beyond maybe knocking down the purchase price or agreeing to pay for certain repairs is fixtures. So let's say you are the home buyer and you really like their refrigerator. You could ask for that sub-zero unit to stay when the homeowner moves out.
You have to remember my grandmother's advice about negotiating. If you don't ask, you don't get. So I think in the process of putting together your offer for the home, ask for everything you're interested in. The worst they can say is no. And generally, as long as your offer price isn't insulting, there'll be room for negotiation going back and forth. So you may not get the sub-zero, but you at least have a chance to get it if you ask for it.
Rick Sharga, founder and CEO of the C.J. Patrick Company in Orange County, California. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle, Illinois. Shane, thank you for joining us today. Two selections this week, and your first first selection comes from the energy space.
That's right. Our first selection is ExxonMobil. It's trading at about $111 a share. We're finding with the much more energy-friendly environment with the current administration, it's well-positioned. We also think it's really attractively priced.
And then when it comes to Exxon and all basically the entire petroleum space, what makes it an attractive buy outside of the fact that it'll have a more favorable regulatory environment in Washington? Because whatever happens this week or maybe this year, how does that filter out to a company like Exxon?
Well, luckily, they're a very diversified company, and they're in a lot of different spaces in energy, not just the ones that you would think. We're also a big fan of the fact that it has a really competitive dividend yield. It's paying 3.5% dividend, and it's increased its dividend for the past 42 straight years. It also has a price-earnings ratio of 14.3, which is really attractive given where we look at the S&P's price-earning ratio. So we just feel, given where everything is now, it's a very, at a value, it's a very cheap play for the energy space. And if you're going to take a risk in the energy space, do it where you don't have to pay nearly as much money as most of the other players.
Now, your second selection, and this is my favorite part of Stock Picker Monday, is reading about the history of certain companies and how they manage to stay relevant today. And your next selection is one, you may still have some of their stuff in your kitchen, but they got out of that business a long time ago.
Yes, Rob, you're absolutely right. Corning is a glass company. And believe it or not, the glass that's being referred to could be from servingware that you might have in your home. But believe it or not, you probably also have a lot of Corning's glassware in the electronics in your kitchen. So they are the glass company that makes glass and ceramic today found in high-performance fiber optic cables used for generative AI. So what we're seeing is rather than trying to pick a winner in that AI race, some people are saying maybe it's NVIDIA, DeepSeek, Meta, Apple. Rather than trying to pick who's going to win, pick a company that they all, for the most part, depend on. So Corning keeps raising its prices, and all those AI players keep paying them. And so what we find, it's a really attractive way to invest in the AI space through a company that many of those companies depend on without actually having to try to pick who the winner is going to be.
So clearly, Corning saw more growth potential in AI than casserole dishes, and that is why that is one of your stock selections for the week.
Exactly. And with the dividend yield of 2.37%, while you're benefiting from that potential upside, it's a pick we really like.
So his selections of the week, ExxonMobil, XOM, and Corning, GLW. Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online at preparemyretirement.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.